everyone. All right. Well, hey, I'm going to gather people back in. I love all the talking, love all the excitement. You guys can kind of find your seats, go ahead and sit down. Things are a little different this morning because of the kids and the pageant and everything. I will let you know, I saw the kids coming out. They were coming down by the stairs. They were going to go downstairs. And as they're walking by, I'm like, hey, great job. And one of the kids looked at me and she's like, good luck after that. And then I was just standing up here, an adult walked by and said, good luck topping that. So, Jesus, thanks for coming. No, that we're really glad you could be here today. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Kelly Smith. I'm the lead pastor here at Grace. Really excited that people could be here. We could enjoy this. Didn't the kids do a great job? There's a lot of people that do a lot of hard work that do practices and line the kids up and looking at the scripts and getting the set together and all the sound and everything. So let's give them all a round of applause too. Thank you guys so much for all you do. All right, well, we are finishing today our Advent sermon series, and it is called Anthems. And it's a sermon series we've been going through for the last 3 weeks, and this is the fourth Sunday before Christmas, which makes it the last week of Advent for Sunday. And so we have been going through this sermon series called Anthems, and it's looking at the responses people have or the messages that are given by God or responses that people have to the message given by God during the birth of Jesus. And we went through of talking about expectation from Mary and the preparation of Zechariah and John the Baptist, the proclamation of the angels last week talking about Jesus has been born and telling the shepherds, and I'm going to see him. And today we are going to be finishing this sermon series. And for those of you who don't know, this Advent sermon series, Advent literally means the second coming of Christ. And so Advent sermon series is looking back at the birth of Jesus, but it's really looking forward to God's return. It's looking forward to the work he's completing in us and in this world so that we can continue to have a relationship with him. And so today we're going to be looking at the last week in this Advent series called Revelation. So we start with expectation, preparation, proclamation, and now revelation and revealing God's work in this world, revealing that Jesus has been born. We just saw this program up here. We saw the pageant where they're talking about Jesus' birth. And that's what we talked about last week with the proclamation, the angels coming down and saying, glory to God in the highest, peace on those whom his favor rests. And we talked about the angels proclaiming God has been born. He has come to save you. And today we're going to continue with that story and look at the revelation of what it means that God came to earth, what it means that Jesus was born, the purpose of his birth. And so we're going to continue in the story of Luke. We've been in Luke 1 and chapter 1 and chapter 2 these last weeks, just going through the story of Jesus' birth. And we're continuing now that he's been born as he's a little infant and he's continuing on in life. And we sit there and go, what happened right after Jesus was born? And so if we read in Luke chapter 2, verses 21 through 22, we see this. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for the purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says, if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So they're going back to the temple. Jesus has been born, and it's coming after he's born that you have something called the purification offering. And this is looking back into Israel, looking back under the old, in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, understanding that Old Covenant idea, that when you had a child in Israel, the nation of Israel was to be set apart from everyone else. So they would do things and say, the firstborn child is given to the Lord to serve God, to show that we have God as our Savior, that we follow him alone, and we dedicate our children to God. And you'd go back to the temple for something called the purification offering. And the purification offering was what would happen is you would come to the temple, the mother, after she had had the baby, and she would come back to the temple and present the child to the priest and be blessed and have a ritual that you would provide a sacrifice so this child could be dedicated, so you could be purified, and so that this, to show that the birth is done and everything's set, and we're continuing on, and we're purified, and this ritualistic cleansing. Now, it's interesting to know that when this happened was about, it was 40 days after the child was born. If you had a male child, for the first 7 days, you were considered, as the mother, unclean, which was saying, you're still dealing with stuff with your body, and then for 33 days after that, you're preparing to go to the temple to go, after that time, at 40 days, go to the temple, be purified by the priest, offer an offering to them. It's interesting in this that most of us skip this over, but it says that as the law required, either a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons were to be sacrificed. Now, the actual law said that you would bring a sheep, a single sheep. And you'd bring that single sheep to be sacrificed so you could be purified, unless the female was so poor that they couldn't afford a sheep. And if you were to the point where you couldn't even afford a sheep, you could bring a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. So most people go right over this verse, going, oh, as the law required. But the law actually required a lamb unless you were so poor you couldn't afford one. And that's who Mary is. That's who Jesus was born into. He was born into poverty, born into a humble family that didn't have much, to the point where they couldn't even offer the normal sacrifice of a lamb. All they could do was two pigeons or two turtle doves. This is the family that Jesus was born into, a humble beginning. It's incredibly interesting to me as we look at this that Jesus did not come to a family of wealth or kings and everything and say, look at the power God has. Look at what he's doing. He's like, I will be born to the least of these so that the weak may be made strong, so that the humble can be lifted up, the meek can be made strong together. It was God saying, I will take the weak and make them strong, and I will take those who think they're strong and bring them down to recognize that I'm God. And it's not about them. And this story right here is interesting because we skip over some of these neat facts that because we don't understand the culture, we don't realize the fact that that's all they could bring said a lot about where they were at. Said a lot about who Jesus' mother was, about who what he was growing up into. And so as they go to the temple and they bring the doves and they go to present and go to do the purification offering, it says something very interesting happens. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. This guy is in Jerusalem named Simeon. Now, the first thing we hear about him is he was righteous and devout, which means he followed God, which means he understood the law, which means he sat there and went, I want to follow God with my heart, with my life, and make him the center of everything. So he's righteous to God and devout to God and saying, I want to follow him. And it said the Holy Spirit had told him, you will not die until you see the Messiah. Now the Messiah in Israel, in the culture of Jewish culture, when you look at Israelites, the Messiah was everything. They were looking for the Messiah to come and save them. The Messiah was going to set up a new nation of Israel, was going to set up a new kingdom. And they expected that the Messiah would come and kick out the Romans, kick out all the enemies, make them a strong, powerful nation again. And they would have a king who would rule over them and destroy their enemies. But they saw the Messiah as just a worldly thing, that God would set someone up to rule over them. They didn't understand that the Messiah was coming to indeed save them, to set up a new kingdom, to set up a new family, to go, I am going to rule over everything. I will defeat the enemy. They saw it as a worldly thing. But it was God saying, no, you don't understand. Me taking care of the enemy is defeating death, is defeating sin, is setting up a new kingdom on earth that is not a kingdom of just laws and sitting there, a kingdom of power and the nation of Israel. It's a kingdom of heaven set up where God says, I'm going to rule over you in your lives. I'm going to save you from yourselves. I'm going to make a way so that, guess what? All of us can live together in this. And so this gentleman named there. He was at the temple and he's waiting. He was waiting for the Messiah. The Holy Spirit was on him. And he had said, you will not die until you see the Messiah. For someone in that time period, if God spoke to you and said, you're going to be alive for the Messiah, it would have changed your world. That would be like God coming to you and speaking right now to you and saying, I need you to know, before you die, God's going to come back to earth. Jesus is coming back to earth, and he's going to finish it all. He's going to sit there and go, all right, the world's done. I'm creating a new heaven, new earth. I'm coming to bring my people back together, and you're going to see the second coming of Jesus. It would blow your mind. You'd be like, guys, it's happening in our life right now. I'm going to see it. God promised me. That's where Simeon was. You're going to see the Messiah, the one that's going to set Israel free. There was no greater thing in the Jewish life than wanting to see the Messiah, wanting to see the one that would set us free. And so it says he's at the temple that day. And he said that day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel. The first thing I read in that story is Simeon was at the temple, and he sees them coming, and he sits there and goes, oh my gosh, this is the Savior. And what does he do? He takes the baby in his arms and goes, this is the Messiah. If I was a parent, right, and I walked in to church and been like, hey, we've been out for a while, just had a baby, and I bring in a baby, and a month after I had the baby, bring the baby in, and someone goes, woohoo, and steals the baby from me and goes, look what, I'd be like, hey, whoa, that's my child, right? You'd sit there and go, oh. But he sits there and he grabs and goes, this is the Messiah. I can die now. I can die in peace. I have seen the Messiah who has come to save us. In fact, his words were very specific. He said, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations. Seeing your salvation. For Simeon, he's singing an anthem to God. This is the anthem of Revelation going, this child is the Messiah. This child is the Savior. He is the salvation for all of us. And he's a light to God. What's interesting here is I've seen your salvation, which you prepared for all people, was not necessarily a very Jewish thought process to go, it's for everyone. It was, no, it's for our nation. It's a covenant with the nation of Israel. But the Holy Spirit speaking through him and says, this, I've seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. This idea of salvation prepared for all people is where everything changes. It's what separates the old covenant from the new covenant. The old covenant was God saying, I'm going to create a covenant with the nation of Israel, an agreement that if you follow me, I'll continue to bless this nation. And I'll reveal myself to the world through you. And this is that turning point of the covenant, where we have a new covenant, where Jesus came and says, I'm going to fulfill all that, because guess what? None of you can. Not one of us can fulfill the law. Not one of us can live and say, well, I did this pretty well, I messed up there, but I'm doing okay. There is no okay. There's either you fulfill the law, and you're perfect and righteous in every way, because the law points to righteousness, or you don't. You're either perfect and righteous in every way, or you're not. There's no middle ground. With God, we either have sin that separates us, or no sin to separate us. And God said that when I created a way for us to have the nation of Israel, for you to pronounce me to the world, but now I'm going to fulfill that, and I'm going to give salvation prepared for all people. Every single one of us. Salvation from ourselves, from our own sin nature. This is the beautiful part of the Christmas story. It's a change in the entire world that God came to save us. And we usually talk at Easter, people go, at Easter, that's when we talk about salvation. The greatest part of the Christmas story is that Jesus came to save. That God came to save. And it wasn't just for one group of people. It wasn't just for one region. It wasn't just for people with a certain name or certain color of skin or certain attitude things. It was salvation prepared for all, for everyone. And then he goes on to say, he is a light to reveal God to the nations. See, Jesus, when he came, it wasn't just, hey, I'm the Messiah for the Jews. It's, I'm coming to be a light, so I'm going to be revealed, God will be revealed to every single person. And it's an amazing thing when you look at God being salvation. For all people, when he's a light to reveal God to all nations. It talks about it many times in the New Testament as you go on. If you look in Titus, it says, for the grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. This is almost the exact words that were used by Simeon when the Holy Spirit spoke into his life. Grace of God has been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. It says in Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. These are not suggestions or everyone who calls on the name of the Lord might be saved. It's if you call on his name. If you ask for forgiveness, he'll forgive. If you ask to be saved, he will save. If you ask for his life in your life, his light in your life, you will have it. The light of God will be through you. The biggest part of the Christmas story, as we've been looking in the expectation of Mary, she was looking to what was going to come from the angel. And she sang out. When we see Zechariah, who sings out because he knows, my son will be preparing the way for the Messiah. As we have the proclamation of the angels saying, the Savior has been born today. Go see him. And a score of angels come out, multitudes filling the air, filling the sea, or filling the air and the land and all around you going, he has been born. All of these anthems have been sung and have been shouted because they're excited about what is happening with God. And Simeon finally has the last one, a revelation from the Holy Spirit of God. The Messiah is here. Salvation's here. Your light has come into this world to save us. Here's the most interesting thing. God's revelation to us is that we can be saved. It's our salvation. That's what's been revealed to the world through Jesus Christ. That God says, guess what? I don't need you. It's the truth. He doesn't need us. God is perfect in every way. Perfect in every way. We don't complete God because we're good or because, oh, I have a relationship with him, so now God's complete. God's complete without us. But he recognizes, he created us and said, I give you the free will, and I know you're not complete without me. And he says, so you need me. So let me create a way for you to have that relationship with me. God's revelation to the world was our salvation. Was the salvation we could have in Jesus Christ. And the Christmas story, which is a beautiful thing, and I love doing the pageant, and I love having the little kids and telling the Christmas story, but the Christmas story is about one thing and one thing only. God's salvation for us. For him to say, I came to take care of you. I came to finish things that you couldn't. I came to make it so you, every single one of you, so me, all of us, could have a relationship with God. His glory was revealed through Jesus Christ. When he came and said, I will be born, I will become fully man, I'll stay fully God, and I'm going to come and make it so I walk among you, I live among you, and I make a way for every single one of you to have a relationship with me. This is the greatest part of the Christmas story. The greatest part is salvation in Jesus Christ. relationship with God is His peace in our hearts. And it's the greatest gift that God could ever give us was Himself. Let's go ahead and pray together. Lord, thank you so much we could be here. Thank you that we could have a great time today, have fun with the kids, get to enjoy that, God, but also that we recognize that what you did for us was so much more than just a cute infant that we get to celebrate, God. It's you saving us. Your revelation to the world, God, is our salvation. Our salvation, God. That we have seen it, that you've prepared it for all people. That your light point us back to you. God, it's not just to a certain group of us. It's to all nations. It's to all people. It's to anyone who calls on your name, God. Lord, this can be such a beautiful, awesome, great time of year as we remember what you've done for us, as we celebrate your birth, as we sometimes have time together with families and meals and parties and having fun, God. But it can also be a very difficult time of year when we've lost loved ones. Or we've gone through pain, God. Lord, I pray that every one of us remembers. And maybe not even remembers, but recognizes, God, maybe for the first time, that you, Lord, you are the peace in this storm of life. You are the salvation when we have chains shackling us down, when we have sin holding us back. God, you are the answer in all things. Lord, I pray we recognize this and call on your name. All who call on your name shall be saved. So that we can have a relationship with you, God, that grows stronger every single day. We pray for these things in your holy and blessed name.